Amen. Thanks, George, for leading us in prayer. That's even one of the other things that's kind of been part of the things we've been learning, you know, through this weird season, is that there are ways we can stay connected even when we can't always be in the same physical location. So thanks, George, for being part of that. And thanks for joining us online for the worship service even right now. So we are, well, the Bible invites us to grow in wisdom. This idea that we can live our lives in greater alignment with the moral grain of the world that God has created. That in the world, whether we see them well or not, there are patterns of right and wrong. There are patterns of blessing and curses. And as we live our lives in alignment with those patterns, that we're living in alignment with the ways, the shalom, the peace, the way of life that God designed us for and longs for us to have. Wisdom is the number one way that God blesses us in our life. Now, he can also work supernaturally over and above those ways, but as we grow in wisdom, we grow in God's favor, and we grow in God's blessing. And so he instructs us, he invites us to grow in wisdom. We can't always see it because there's sin in our hearts and there's sin in the world around us, but underneath all the wreckage and rubble, it's there. And the book of Proverbs helps us to see things that on our own we might not be able to see. So we have been in Proverbs, we've been seeking to grow in wisdom. We've been making three wisdom commitments to one another. So let's put commitment number one up. Can I say, commitment one, say it with me, one. One, all right, that's very pathetic. But we'll try it again. Commitment number one. Number one, I will seek wisdom from God, right? Because God is the author and source of all true wisdom. He created the world. He can show us how to live well in it. So we've been challenging one another to be in the Word every day, and I know many of you have. And one of the ways we've been doing that is by reading a chapter of Proverbs a day and just seeing what kind of comes to mind, trusting the Spirit of God to speak to us through the Word of God. And many of you have been doing that and posting your verses and things like that. That's why today, because it's the fourth, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. Very good. So we are seeking wisdom through God. Secondly, is we're making the commitment to say, I will spend less time consuming and more time thinking. We've been training ourselves with this. When you're doing this, what's this? Do this, come on, do this with me. Yeah, when you're scrolling and when you're trolling, when your thumb is moving, your brain probably isn't. When you're reacting, you're not responding and you're not reflecting. When I'm thumbing, I'm not thinking. Now, it's okay to use social media. It's okay to read news feeds. It's okay to be connected. But realize that the wisdom, the deeper wisdom that you need, will not be online. Okay? There's fantastic information online, but wisdom is not found there. Not on its own, at least. So that's the second commitment. I'm going to spend more time thinking and less time consuming. Third, commitment number three. I can't even count the three. Commitment number three. Say three. Okay. I will look for wise examples around me. God is so good. He has surrounded you with wisdom, and even wise people turn to your left. Turn to that. Maybe it's not there. Turn to your right. Oh, there it is. No. But God has provided wise people around you. Some of you are like, okay. All right. But God has provided wise people around us to help us grow in wisdom. And so we've been learning to identify the traits of wise people, people who live humbly and who live well. James 3:13. We're learning to identify. We're learning to identify the traits of wisdom. Now, today we're going to look at the verse in Proverbs that if there was just one verse that you would memorize from Proverbs, this would probably be it. It's a good summary verse. See, Solomon actually says that this is the most important thing we can do in our pursuit of wisdom. The most important thing. And so this concept is incredibly important, especially in this current age of, you know, depression and anxiety and disrespect and increased anger and polarization. This verse is really important. So we're going to say it out loud. Look, it's already on the screen. That's fantastic. Let's say it out loud together. Proverbs 4:23. Okay? A couple of times, if you're in the room, let's say it out loud. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let's say that again. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So everything we do in life, so whether that's our relationships, whether that's our finances, whether that's our parenting, whether that's our work life, those outward actions in our life are symptomatic of what's taking place in your heart. So if you want to change your life, change your heart. If you want to change your life, if you want to change your marriage, change your heart. If you want to change your finances, change your heart. If you want to change your parenting, change your heart. If you want to change your work environment, change your heart. Everything you do, not everything that happens to you necessarily, but everything you do flows out of it. What's happening in your heart drives all other arenas of life. All of our outward actions are linked to, in many cases, symptomatic of the good or the ill that is found in our hearts. Is Jesus in your heart? Because, see, Jesus is the one who can change the human heart. So we need to carefully watch what's in our hearts. Our hearts are really, really important. See, our physical heart, will you do this with me? Hold up your fist. Your physical heart is about the size of your fist, and it pumps at least, sometimes more, of 100,000 times a day. 2,000 gallons of blood get pumped by this incredible organ through 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Isn't that incredible? And you know what the number one killer in the United States is right now? Heart disease. More than 600,000 people in the past year have died of heart disease, even in the age of COVID. Our hearts are incredibly important. Now, the Bible uses the metaphor of the heart to talk about the very deepest core of who you are, your soul, the core of your personality, who you are on the deepest inward level. So our hearts, our physical hearts and our spiritual hearts are incredibly important. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me, the Lord says to the Israelites. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. Our hearts are incredibly important. And so it says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Why do we need to guard our hearts? Well, we need to guard because there are enemies to our hearts. Now, sometimes, if we're being honest, that enemy is you. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. But there also are forces around us that are looking to attack our hearts. You ever feel like your heart is being attacked? Above all else, guard your heart because everything you do flows from it. Does it ever feel like the church is being attacked? Just because we are. Because there's forces around us that would look to cause us to slip into despair or division or apathy. Above all else, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. Does it feel like some of the soul of our nation is under attack right now? Division and apathy, all of those same forces. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard it from yourself and guard it from the attacks that would look to come from outside of yourself to your heart. Now, we also got to remember that guarding is an ongoing process, isn't it? Ongoing process. Can you imagine if the Secret Service, I'm just thinking of how our president is probably the best guarded person on the planet, right? Can you imagine if the Secret Service, you know, on Inauguration Day, they come up, "Mr. President, we are right here for you. We are right here for you. We're, yes, we are." And get to the end of the Inauguration Day and they're like, "Well, have a good life." And off they go, right? Like, we know intuitively that guarding has to be ongoing. Guarding is ongoing. If you're taking notes, guarding is ongoing. But sometimes we treat our spiritual lives as if it doesn't require that. You know, I gave my heart to Jesus at Bible camp when I was 13 years old. There we go. Got her done. And now that's the start of the journey, and that's a fantastic way to start your journey. But guarding is ongoing. Above all else, guard. Continue to guard. And don't let your guard down on your heart. On your heart. So as we talk about what it means to guard our hearts, I want to look at three areas of what it means to guard. Like, guarding over what comes in, guarding over what we keep in, and guarding over what goes out. So let's talk about what comes in. You know, this idea of guarding our hearts against the influences that will seek to come in, the incoming influences in our life. You know, you think if you have a disease in your physical heart, you're going to go to your doctor, and your doctor's going to probably get you to change your diet, right? And sometimes it's really hard to do. Less salt, a little less steak, buddy. You got to change your diet if you want your heart to stay healthy. Well, the same thing is true for our spiritual hearts, right? I think of Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. Jesus said, "Be careful, be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." In other words, not all the teaching that you're going to hear in the world around you is going to be good for you. Now, in the case of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he's guarding them or warning them against a legalistic approach to our faith, kind of a rules-based approach. God, if I do this for you, you need to do that for me. Like we're making a contract with the Lord. We still do that today. You know, sometimes in the way that we view our faith, it's legalistic. Well, God, I did this and I did this, so you need to come through in this way. You know, or that's the prosperity gospel. If I do this, if I give this way, well, then here comes my Corvette, or here comes my mansion, or whatever it is. Guard against that, Jesus said. Guard against the legalistic approach to your faith. You know, guard against the kind of faith that would try to pull you into those places of fear, where we're always living a protectionistic mindset. Guard against that. And even when it's coming from Christian sources, not every way of thinking about God is good. Because if we make legalism the center of our faith, we've lost the center of our faith. If we make fear the center of our faith, we've lost the center of our faith. If we make politics the center of our faith, we have lost the center of our faith, because that's not our final hope, is it? Our final hope, the center of our faith, who is that? It's Jesus. So guard against methods of thinking that are going to pull you away from a focus on your relationship with Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus, you're walking in the right directions. So stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Guard what comes in to your heart. And that's not just from Christian sources. That's also going to be from the other sources around us, the media sources. You know, the things that we turn to for entertainment, for comfort, for security, what we listen to, what we watch. How is your media diet? How's your media diet? Guard what comes in. If you've got the cable news on all the time, I can promise you that you live with a sense of fear, because that's what's being marketed. Guard your heart. Now, having those things on and being informed is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying be careful about what you let in and how you let it in. Guard your heart. Guard what comes in. If you're on Instagram all the time, you're going to be kind of living with a life of comparison, right? Because you don't look as good in yoga pants at the top of a mountain. Hi. You know, and maybe you never will. Some of you, now you can't unsee that, and I'm really sorry. But be careful about what you let in. Be careful about what you let in. What are those incoming influences? Guard what comes in. Secondly, We need to guard what we keep in. There are things that we hold in our hearts. You realize all of us meditate? All of us do. Now, some of you are meditating in ways of like mindfulness. You know, you pay attention to your breath, and that's okay. That's okay. Make sure to have Jesus be center to that, because we are called to meditate on Christ. We're called to meditate on God's word. We're called to allow the fullness of Christ to fill our minds and our hearts. That kind of meditation is really good. But also realize we meditate in other ways, that worry is a meditation on fear. Anxiety is a meditation on fear. Bitterness is a meditation on hurt and on disappointment. We roll it around in our minds. Rage is a meditation on anger, and all of us meditate on something. Depression is a meditation on sadness. Lust and coveting is a meditation on desire. All of us meditate. Now, I don't want to oversimplify things or pretend that just we can just easily pray some of those things away. Sometimes those are going to be the deepest struggles in our life. And sometimes the wisest thing we can do is to kind of get some help with that. Just like if you've got an intruder in your house, sometimes you're going to call the security guard. If you've got the wrong person in your dwelling, you're going to bring a bouncer to help get them out. You know, guard what you keep in. And the good news is, if you're a Christian, if you've asked Christ into your heart, you've got resources. But it can also be wise sometimes to turn to other Christian counselors, talk to your doctor. Medication can be a good thing. But guard what we keep in. Psalm 51:10 says this: "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." God can do that in us when we invite him in, when we let him in. Thirdly, we need to guard about what comes out of our life, to be paying attention to what comes out of our life. See, Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, said this: "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So when thoughts and when words come out of our mouths, it's connected to something. When you hear words coming out of other people's mouths, it's connected to something. It comes from somewhere. Angry words come from an angry heart. Racist words come from a racist heart. Judgmental words come from a judgmental heart. So we need to guard against what comes out of our hearts. A little bit like, you know, you think of the security guards at a bank. If you might be guarding the front door and then you see a robber coming out the side door, you need to chase after the robber. That's the first thing you do. But the second thing you need to do is you need to ask the question, how did that robber get in the first place? So when we see those tendencies in our hearts, it's not just about trying to have better filters. I mean, as we get older, we learn to, here's the things that I might be thinking, but I probably shouldn't say. Ever experienced that? It's formed up here, but I've built these sophisticated blockers to keep them coming out of my, some of you, that could be the thing you want to work on today. It's good to have some filters. And sometimes people find themselves in life where the filters come down. I'm not necessarily, though filters can be a good part, can be a wise part, I'm not really talking about the filters. I'm talking about an honest assessment of what was about to come out, whether you filtered it or not. Those words, those emotions, those thoughts indicate that something's going on the inside. Because it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks, that, or like Proverbs 4:23 says, everything in life comes from it. So what's in your heart? First Peter talks about how we're called to love one another deeply from the, what do you think the word is? From the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart. So what's flowing out of your heart? What's flowing out of your heart? Is your life marked by a concern for others? What's flowing out of your heart? So as we look to apply this to our lives, are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your heart? What comes in? Of what stays in your heart? Of what comes out of your heart? Are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your heart? Pay attention to what's in your heart. But the good news is, in the midst of that guarding, whether guarding what comes in, what guarding what stays in, guarding what comes out, the good news is, as we look to guard our hearts, we don't guard them alone. Because Christ dwells in us through faith. You have the best partnership in guarding available. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. That's why, just like, you know, if we're looking to build greater health in our physical hearts, there's these heart healthy habits we need to form. You get your diet and exercise, and it helps. It helps our hearts to be healthy. There's similar things we can do in our spiritual lives to keep our hearts healthy, to be building trust, to be building gratitude, to be building empathy. Or think of what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Those are the heart-healthy habits. And what it means to be in the Word. Are you in the Word? I hope that you are. Please, please, please make time in the Word a daily habit. It's crazy out there, folks. It's nuts. This time in the Word, this time with the Lord can anchor us. Pray. Talk to God about what's going on in your life. Be honest with Him. He can handle it. He can handle even the bad stuff. He's exceptionally good at handling the bad stuff. He died on the cross because of the bad stuff, for the sake of the bad stuff, so that the sin that separates us from God, the sin that separates us from one another, the sin that causes pain to ourselves and to the people around us, could be dealt with once and for all. So spend time with the Lord in prayer. Get enough sleep. Take care of your body. Eat well. Drink lots of water, just like your mom said. Find safe places to talk and to process your emotions with trustworthy friends. Perhaps even with you know, pastoral counselors or Christian counselors. Find safe places to talk about what you're experiencing. And look for ways to build margin in your life. Even if you're feeling anxiety, even if you're feeling some depression, which is right now is normal, find ways to build margin in your life so that you can be that isolation buster, so that you can reach out to the people around you, because everybody around you is feeling some of the same things, and in many cases, probably far, far worse. Those are those heart-healthy habits. You with me? Because Jesus can help us guard our hearts. That's why I want to close, is even just simply with that time in prayer. Jesus, help me to guard my heart. Help me to guard my heart. As you think about the elements of guarding, guarding what comes in, guarding what we keep in, guarding what comes out, what's the area of guarding that you're asking Him to help with the most today? Where's that part of your life that you think, okay, this is where, Jesus, this is where I could really, really use some help? And then we're gonna take some time in a moment to pray, and just invite you to give that area of your life to Him. So maybe that's your media habits. Maybe that's your thought life. Maybe that's some areas, some thought patterns that you're just having a hard time shaking. Maybe that's in God, would you show me how to get into your Word? Lord, would you give me some safe places to talk about what I'm experiencing? But above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do, my friends, flows from it. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, thank you that you are with us as we struggle to guard our hearts. Lord, help us to be mindful of the influences that come in, the incoming influences in our life. Lord, help us to make wise decisions about media. Lord, help us to make wise decisions about even the Christian theology and teaching we allow into our lives. Lord, help us to make wise decisions and to take every thought captive for you. To be mindful of what's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Lord, may Jesus be the very center of our thought life. Free us from fear. Free us from legalism. Free us from placing our trust or hope in anything but you. Because God, you are absolutely trustworthy. And if you're here today or if you're watching online and you can't honestly say at this moment whether or not Jesus is in your heart, I just want to take a moment to invite you to let him in. Just to pray, maybe it's under your breath, use your own words, but just to start that relationship with God. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me. Change me. Make me a new person. And thank you that you died on the cross for me so that all the junk in my life could be dealt with. Thank you that you rose again from the dead so that I don't need to fear death. You gave your life for me. I want to give my life for you. So as we give God our hearts and the struggles on our hearts, I just invite you, whatever that primary area is for you, that area that you're especially asking him, guard, just give it to him. Is it anxiety? Just give it to him. Is it fear? Just give it to him. Is it legalism? Just give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give it to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you guard our hearts. And Lord, even when the things come out of our hearts that we wish weren't there, and the frustration boils over and the anxiety boils over and the anger boils over or whatever it is, it boils over and it comes out. God, thank you that you redeemed that. And we pray that you would lovingly help us to deal not just with the symptoms, not just to have better filters, but God, that you would work on the root. Work on our hearts, the deepest parts of who we are. Give ourselves to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.